3511 User Experience. I'm Simon and I'll be your lecturer for the semester on this unit. So first of all, let me explain how things are going to work. We are going to go through the notes. In this case, we're going to go through the overview and logistics, and I'm going to be talking with you about the notes as we go through them. So I'm sitting here at my desk. I have the overview and logistics notes before me. I have a notepad to one side so I can make notes if necessary. And you should think about doing the same. So get your overview and logistics notes out. Make sure you've got a notepad. Remember that it's a better idea to take notes as you go, using a pen and paper probably, or at least using a pen as opposed to typing, because you spend more time with the notes then and they are more likely to stay in your brain. You're more likely to retain them. Avoid using highlighters, because highlighters are very easy at the time to do, but they also don't allow you to retain the information as well. So just make sure that you're thinking about that as you go through. So let's start on page one. Really, what is Comp 33511? Generally, it's about user experience. I'm going to tell you all about your experience, what it is, how it developed and how it came about, and what it's used for today. Also, sort of issues with terminology and where it can be applied. But the real thing you need to remember is that this isn't a substitute for a user experience program. This is a short overview from 30,000 feet, if you like, of the UX landscape, so that you are able to understand the kind of tools that you need to select if you're going to be a UXer, the kind of language and terminology that you need to understand, the general process by which user experience work is undertaken. And you're also going to understand things like statistical analysis to some extent. You're going to understand things like requirements analysis and engineering. You're going to understand some things like storyboarding, etc. The things that you're going to really be able to do at the end of this is talk with software engineers, is talk with other UXers, is to specify user requirements and understand what users like and want, and be able to translate those user requirements into formats that software engineers will understand. And then you'll be able to test the product of that software engineering with users once they have, once it's been developed. So this isn't a verbatim course, as I say. It's not in super detail, because you need an entire program to do this. However, at the end of each section, there's further reading, which I don't suggest you necessarily do now, but it's there for the future in case you need it, so that you can kind of expand your knowledge and make it much more in depth than we can go into in these lectures. Now, when I say lectures, what I really mean are seminars. And so the way that the course will run is that we will be working in seminars. These seminars are really about answering questions together in groups, and then sort of elaborating those questions to the other people in the room and me, so that we can have some guided work there. I'll be guiding the seminars. But then we have a drop-in session where you guide what we're going to talk about in that drop-in session. And then if that still isn't enough, then you can come and speak to me at the end of a seminar, at the end of a drop-in session, or one-to-one appointments, which you don't have to ask me about. Just book them in the one-to-one link, which is the You Can Book Me link. So moving on to the second page, what are the expectations? Well, generally, I expect you to come and be excited, be ready to participate in the seminars. If you aren't able to come because of some third year issues, such as you're away at interview, etc., or there's some other reason why you can't, you're ill maybe, that you don't want to come, then You're able to zoom in, so there'll be a zoom link. It's not got the same kind of level of interaction, of course, but you are able to understand what's going on. Now, we don't record the Zoom, we don't record the session. There are no university style podcasts, which are videos of the sessions, and that's really because we found that it hinders the discussion. So people don't want to talk freely because they feel that they'll be videoed, and therefore if they get things wrong, they're a bit reticent about being videoed getting things wrong. Okay, so on page 3, you'll see that you're able to communicate with me, you can come to my office, you can file a bug report if you think there's something going wrong with the course. Make sure you file that earlier so we can actually fix it before the course finishes. That's on GitLab. Announcements will be by Blackboard emails. Now, you'll get an email every week which will tell you what I expect you to be doing this week for comp 33511. And then you can also book a one-to-one meeting with me. Remember, those meetings get very difficult to get after the results of an assignment come out, because most people want to book a meeting to chat with me directly about what the assignment meant. So how would I approach the work? Well, the first thing I do is think about getting the notes on some format you like. Maybe that's Notion, maybe that's Obsidian, maybe you're just going to have it as a PDF and annotate that PDF directly. And then what I would do is get the podcast set up, and you're going through each section of the notes page by page with the podcast playing. Now, you might then need to pause the podcast so you can read in more detail. You might need to go back and read something over again. You might need to listen to the podcast separately, of course. All those things I think you're able to do. There are no videos anymore for this unit, because we listened to what people said last year, and they said there's just too much work, too many materials, and so generally we remove the videos. They're deprecated, they're still on Blackboard, so you can see them if you like, but I suggest you don't really bother with them, because the value add for those particular videos is minimal compared to the notes and the podcast that you're now getting. What I would do is that I would look at the self-assessment questions, which are at the end of every section of work, and also at the end of or that we'll go through in the seminars. These self-assessment questions have been selected to both have coverage but also go into a bit more detail to the issues that you might that you might face, i.e. things that students before you have found to be difficult. So therefore we're looking at things which we know are sort of pinch points in the work, and also to allow you to have coverage over the entire piece of work that we're looking at that point. Once you've done that, then you can hopefully sort of answer those self-assessment questions. If you can't, then you need to come to me, and so we can discuss them in more detail either after a seminar or, as I said, through the You Can Book Me link. And then once you're satisfied that you kind of understand what's going on, the best way is to try and teach what you've learnt to somebody else. Spend 10 minutes maybe with a course mate teaching what you've learnt to them, and see whether you feel that you can do that to a good level. Now, this the idea of teaching teaching the material teaching the material that you've learnt really cements it in your head. If you can teach it, you definitely can remember it and you can understand it, and so therefore it's highly likely that you'll be able to do a good job in your assignments and and on the exam. Okay, you'll need to get the unit notes. The unit notes are on LeanPub. There's a link here, and you need to use the coupon to get them for free if you want to download the PDF. If you want to just see them as HTML online, then that's always available, so coupon's not required for that one at all. Let's skip ahead to the assignments on page 4. So here, what we're thinking about with assignments is that you'll be required, there are three assignments actually, one is formative, two are summative. The summative ones are worth 15 marks each. The formative one obviously isn't worth anything. It's there purely so you can get started and get some feedback so that you don't screw up on the ones that actually have got marks allocated to them. Don't assume that because all you have to do is write 250 words, it's going to be easy. In fact, it's probably going to be harder. And don't assume that because you know how to write well, this is going to be easy. So you don't need to do the formative one. I suggest that everybody does the formative one. It's entirely up to you, however, if you feel you've got other demands. So here, your submission will really be writing 250 words, which is really not just a summary, but it's more sort of a position piece, if you like, for the piece of research that you're working on. You'll be required to give an overview of the work, highlight its importance, have some insights into that work, pick one of those insights to which you want to expand, and argue that that insight is the most important part, or argue why you've picked that particular insight, and you want to bring in external knowledge from other work that you've read into that argument, and then cite that external work formally so that we know that it's come from a good source. Plagiarism. Don't do it. Obviously, we know what plagiarism is, and every year a few people do copy from each other, and it goes very badly for them because we have plagiarism checkers through the Turnitin system, so we're going to know what, you know, we're going to know that there's some plagiarism going on there. Now, my view of AI assistance. So I've been using ChatGPT since probably the end of version 2, and I've been using it reasonably consistently over the last 6 months or so to kind of really understand what it gives you. And what I think it really gives you is the starting point for writing. It's kind of a writing assistant. It's like really for technical work, it's kind of like a spell checker or a good grammar checker like Grammarly. But really, you shouldn't rely on it more than that because it gets quite a few things wrong in the technical work. And also, the kind of knowledge that it gives is quite superficial. It's not very in-depth. It's the kind of knowledge you would expect that somebody who's not done the course would know about user experience. So therefore, you can't get many marks by just having vanilla. I asked ChatGPT a question and I copied that into the answer. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. So generally, either you're going to give a superficial answer, which is your own answer, or a superficial answer, which is a ChatGPT answer. Both of those are going to get you 30%, probably, maybe not that much, dependent. So it's not that useful for teaching you things, but it is quite useful for starting off a piece of work. And so therefore, that piece of work that you're then going to sort of expand, you're going to put more insight into, you're going to kind of meld to become your own. There, it's kind of useful, I think, to sort of move forward with it. So generally, I would use ChatGPT. It's fine that you do, certainly from my view. Although the university's view might differ, and you should do what the university tells you to do. But my view certainly is that it's okay to use this as a starting point. But don't expect that just using it by typing a question into it, don't expect that that's going to give you the answer that you ex expect, okay, that's both correct or that you're going to get high marks from, because they're typically either incorrect or superficial. They're good as a starting point. Certainly, ChatGPT itself says that responses are generated by an algorithm that may not all they might not always be accurate or up to date. Additionally, because ChatGPT is an AI language model, it may not be able to provide nuance or context-specific responses, and this is really the case. It really won't be able to do that very well, I don't think. Okay, moving on to page 8. So there are three assignments which I will allow you to look at yourself. I don't think we need to go through them. I'm also letting you understand how you ought to approach those assignments on this particular page, and I think we've gone through that really. And you need to submit your work via Blackboard. It's the Turnitin part of Blackboard. It needs to be 250 words, and that's really because 250 words plus or minus 10%. Is really the definitive amount that you need to work on for an executive summary. So the 250 words is pretty important when it comes to executive summaries and for abstracts, and so that's what I think that you need to kind of focus on. Okay, so we can also see that in the marking rubric, the thing that we as markers use and that you should also use to understand where the most marks go, you'll also see that minimally, that you know, you could have something generated that minimally looks like it's superficial or that it's been generated by an AI assistant. So so make sure that you keep that in mind as too. The marking rubric you can see is available on every assignment. So click that first to make sure that you understand how many marks will be allocated, to understand how many marks will be given to each part of the work. And you should also realize that the most marks are given to things like knowledge, for instance, or argumentation, because that's the more difficult part to do, and it's the part that we would expect you to be able to do well, okay, because of where you're at in your studies. There are a number of exemplars that run through page 12 and 13 and also 14.2. These are formative, so they're not normative, they're purely informational. You should look at them and think, yeah, these look pretty good, like a pretty good way of answering, but this shouldn't be the answer that you particularly give. They're definitely not something that you should be thinking, oh, I'm absolutely going to try and replicate this. You should do what you think is appropriate for the work that you're given, but what you should also do is see what kind of work has gained high marks before. But as I say, they're formative, they're not normative at all. Now, on page 15, you'll see that we move on to the exams. So let me just go through the exams as we run them in Comp 33511. There are two exams. Really, there are two tests, and they start, they're online. They start on the beginning of December, typically, and they finish by the last day of the exam period, okay, which will be in January at some point. The first test is computer marked. It's a multiple choice test. There are also true and false, and there are also multiple answers questions in there as well. And so therefore, that is all computer marked. You don't get the results back until we close the exam period down, but you'll get them pretty much straight away as soon as the exam period finishes. Test two is more essay based, more discursive. So this one here has three questions. One's really to test your comprehension. The other, your application of different techniques. Given a problem, apply this technique, or what technique should be applied. And then creativity, where you're given something reasonably left field, and you need to apply your user experience knowledge to address that problem. Okay. What you should realise is that both that you can take these tests at any time you like within that period. They are timed, both of them are timed, so once you start, you've got to finish on time, otherwise it's automatically submitted. What's more, the tests are drawn from a question bank of around 280 questions now, and so therefore the amount of it's randomly, if you like, generated at the time that you sit down to take the test. So no two tests are alike. You won't get given the same questions as somebody else on the unit. It's highly likely that won't happen. Certainly you won't get given the same exam in that combination that you would expect from somebody else on the unit. All of the MCQs, for instance, are varied both internally to the MCQ itself. So A, B, C, D, E, for instance, on an MCQ is not the same as A, B, C, D, E on another MCQ that somebody else is getting, even though the question might be the same. And the MCQs themselves are all selected from, well, all of the questions are all selected from this large question bank, and they're selected at random. And so therefore, you can take it at any time that you like. So here, you can't really only sort of try and look at what questions have been answered before and think about how you might, whether you're going to get those questions again. You know, what are the most, what questions come up the most, because you don't know. It's going to be generated on the fly. Okay, and you'll finally see a changelog on the back. This is just a bit of housekeeping. Don't need to worry about this, but it just gives you an idea that that we do take into account what students in the previous years have said. So, for instance, this year we've done a big job of removing the videos and moving to this audio podcast format so that we can go through the notes together, just myself and you. We'll go through the notes together, obviously, with this audio podcast format. Duplication has been removed from the notes and they've been harmonized, and there are additional duplicate seminars added. Now, with regard to the seminars, you'll be allocated to one of these seminars by the timetabling, but if it turns out that you can't particularly get to that one, or there's a problem with you on some weeks getting to that one, then try and go to one of the others. Typically there's enough room available for those seminars. Maybe there's a few seats left over. It's not useful for everybody to come to the same one, but if there's a problem with you with your attendance at particularly one, maybe you've got conflicts, or maybe, you know, something happened one day and you want to make it up when the next seminar's on, then that's fine. You can come to the other ones that are running at the same time. Okay, and with that, I shall I've tried to kind of give you an idea about what to expect with the UX course and how it's going to be examined, and hopefully I'll see you on that unit. But also, if it's optional for you, please do make sure that this is the unit for you. Okay, and with that, I shall see you in the next one.